This is VOA News. I'm Scott Walterman.
We've added our 31st ally, Finland, and the 32nd, Sweden, will soon be among us.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken at NATO headquarters in Brussels. The alliance is meeting, and on the agenda, support for Ukraine.
Some are questioning whether the United States and other NATO allies should continue to stand with Ukraine as we enter the second winter of Putin's brutality. But the answer here today at NATO is clear and it's unwavering. We must and we will continue to support Ukraine.
International mediators appeared to have made progress Wednesday on extending the pause in fighting between Israel and the U.S.-designated terror group Hamas. They are encouraging Hamas rulers to keep freeing hostages in return for the release of Palestinian prisoners. And if they do not extend the deal, it will expire within a day. India has set up a high-level inquiry after U.S. authorities raised concerns that India's government may have had knowledge of a plot to kill a Sikh separatist leader on American soil.
The U.S. government says it had raised the issue with New Delhi, but declined to comment on when or how U.S. officials had become aware of the plot to kill Gurpatwant Singh Panum, who's considered a terrorist by New Delhi. It's not clear how the alleged assassination attempt was derailed. An Indian official says the U.S. side has shared some information, and, he says, India takes such inputs seriously since they impinge on our national security interests as well. In September, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said there were credible links that the Indian government may have had links to the assassination in that country of Sikh activist Hardeep Singh Nijjar. India has rejected the accusation as absurd. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
This is VOA News. Pope Francis has presided at his weekly audience with the public at the Vatican, but the pontiff said he's still unwell and asked aides to read speeches for him on Wednesday, a day after canceling his trip to COP28. Francis will turn 87 on December 17th. The Emirati president-designate for the upcoming United Nations COP28 climate talks forcefully denied Wednesday a report alleging his nation planned to use the summit to strike oil and gas deals a day before the summit was due to begin. Sultan Al-Jaber, who also leads the massive state-run Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, called the allegations from a BBC report an attempt to undermine the work of the COP28 presidency. In the U.S. state of Michigan, the government there is joining state-level efforts to regulate artificial intelligence in political ads ahead of the elections, while federal legislation is still pending. Here's AP correspondent Julie Walker.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is expected to sign legislation in the coming days aimed at curbing deceptive uses of artificial intelligence and manipulated media. The legislation comes as concerns grow that generative AI could be used in the 2024 presidential race to mislead voters. Michigan and several other states have taken the lead on legislating deep fakes in political advertising, while similar legislation is being considered in Congress. A recent bipartisan Senate bill would ban materially deceptive deepfakes relating to federal candidates, with exceptions for parody and satire. I'm Julie Walker.
Families of rescued Indian tunnel workers relieved expressed their gratitude toward rescue workers on Wednesday as their loved ones beat all odds and returned after spending 17 days trapped in a collapsed tunnel in the Himalayas. The workers were pulled out on wheeled stretchers through a 90-centimeter-wide steel pipe, the entire process being completed in about an hour. India paid tribute Wednesday to the hundreds of U.S. servicemen killed during World War II with the opening of a museum near its strategic border with China, honoring the dramatic Himalayan airlift dubbed the Hump. Telling the story of how Allied pilots flew the perilous route to supply Chinese forces. It includes 80-year-old rusting wreckage and machine guns, some of the 590 planes that crashed into the jungle hills and jagged mountains of India's northeast. In Washington, D.C., I'm Scott Walterman, VOA.